summer has not even officially gotten underway yet, but dozens of cities across the country are already seeing record high temperatures for early June. And in California, officials are scrambling in response to the dry conditions that have pushed 93% of California and the Southwest into drought this year. In April and May, California Governor Gavin Newsom announced emergency drought declarations for 41 of his state's 58 counties. Here he is speaking about recent conditions on May 10th.
Let me just talk about the last 3+ weeks. In the last few weeks, we've lost roughly 500,000 acre feet of runoff compared to what we had anticipated, which, put into language that I hope people can understand, is the equivalent of 1 million households receiving water for a year. That's just in the last number of weeks in the state of California.
California was previously in a drought from 2012 to 2016, and some experts believe the drought never truly ended for the state. The people who are likely to be hardest hit by the current water crisis are the same ones who were most negatively affected the last time around: Latino farm workers living in rural areas. A report issued this year by California's nonpartisan legislative analyst office notes that many of these communities lost access to safe drinking water during the last drought. They also lost out on work when low water supplies made it harder to grow crops. For more, I'm joined now by Gabrielle Cannon, a reporter covering fires, droughts, and the American West for The Guardian. Thank you for being here, Gabrielle.
Wonderful to be with you.
So maybe we can just start with this. What is it that constitutes drought?
Sure. Yeah. So it's sort of a creeping trend, right? So we'll see these dry conditions. And then once that starts to really impact systems, starts to impact people, starts to impact ecosystems, that's where these drought declarations start to come into play.
Now, what are some of the conditions that led up to this particular drought that so much of California is currently in?
Sure. Yeah. So it's a combination of things. Some bad luck and certainly climate change. I think one of the biggest is these rising temperatures that you mentioned. So what that does is it diminishes the snowpack. It makes it so it's actually less snow and more rain. And then it literally bakes moisture out of the environment. So even when you have these wet years, you really retain a lot less of the water. What we're seeing this year is the snowpack diminished incredibly quickly. Now we're pretty much at zero.
So there was this moment early on during the pandemic when we were getting what felt like good environmental news from around the world, as though all of the humans staying at home was actually improving conditions. And yet that doesn't seem to be where we are now.
Yeah, I mean, it's unfortunately true, right? We're seeing these record high, you know, numbers that are really scary. And with the drought, I think it's something that's, again, something that's kind of been long-term. It's been something that this climate is prone to dry conditions. California, of course, is definitely not new to drought, but climate change is going to make these things a lot worse.
Now, California is certainly no stranger to drought, but we aren't in the hottest months of the year yet. So What are California's water supply systems looking like right now?
Ooh, it's looking rough. I mean, across the state, you're seeing these reservoirs with just these big bathtub rings. They're incredibly low. I mean, overall, the water supply is less than half of what it normally would be. So some of our biggest reservoirs are much lower than that even. I mean, you've seen areas where boats have had to be removed. And Gavin Newsom himself did a press conference from the dusty footprint of what used to be an important reservoir and lake. So it's looking really, really grim. But that being said, we don't know what's going to happen this winter.
What might happen that could make some of these conditions more bearable?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, if we get a wet year, if we get another wet winter, certainly we're going to be in better shape. I think one of the things that is important to consider, of course, is, like I said, with these rising temperatures, what's really going to be important, though, is that snowpack. So if that snowpack can't recover, it puts a lot more pressure on the systems. That's the best way that California can reserve its water, right? You get this lovely snow that melts into the reservoirs, into the streams, into the creeks. And so there's two things that happens there. First, starting out with less of it is a problem. And then, of course, if the runoff isn't usable, right, it melts into the ground. So we're seeing that happen. Both of those things happen this year. Researchers are hopeful that this will be something that isn't as long term, but of course, it's hard to know for sure.
Latino farm workers are hit hardest, at least certainly were in the last drought. So how proactive is the state being to help those communities this time around?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think it's still incredibly worrisome. I think there are areas in California that still haven't recovered from that. You know, more than 1 million people in the state don't have access to clean drinking water. It's incredibly horrifying to hear about, right? But Newsom has tried to invest in this particular problem. Part of his new budget is budgeted to increase infrastructure and to try to get water into the areas that may have scarcity issues. And then there's also, you know, long-term plans to try to mitigate some of the things that led to those scarcity issues. So one of the biggest changes is going to be this is the Groundwater Management Act that was passed in 2014. So it's been in play for a little while. The problem is that the way that it works is it asks communities to come up with their own resilience plans and reduction plans for pumping out that groundwater. And so what that is, it's of course the water that's sort of the reserves, right? A lot of communities use it for wells. And when farmers and ranchers and growers don't get the water that they need, they often turn to that to pump it right out of the ground. And last drought, you know, you see like the ground just sinks dramatically. And so the Groundwater Management Act is going to require these communities to stop pumping that groundwater at levels that is not sustainable. But a lot of that isn't really going to be implemented until, you know, a few years down the line, even just the last year is when these communities were submitting their plans and proposals.
So it seems to me that asking local communities to come up with their own plans, I see the reasons that could be empowering. I could see why that would make sense given the idea that communities are quite different from one another. But it also seems to me that environmental management is kind of the classic collective action problem. It actually needs more centralized decision-making. Do we see any more centralized decision-making, not only in California, but maybe nationally to address an issue like this?
Yeah, I mean, I think that there has been a lot of work here. I mean, it's certainly not in the place a lot of folks would like to see it, right? But again, this is one of those issues that's incredibly complicated. And there's so many different groups and even ecosystems that rely on this really scarce water. And so distributing it is something that's become, it's created a lot of tension. And I think that's something that, like you said, there needs to be more direction. There needs to be more discussion around how to equitably distribute that essential resource.
Now, the other disaster that we talked so much about last year in California was wildfire season and the horrifying and destructive wildfires we saw last year. What do these current drought conditions mean for the upcoming wildfire season?
Yeah, that's, you know, it's getting scary, right? We're seeing incredibly low moisture in the fuel content. That's vegetation. Of course, drought leads to dead trees. It leads to, you know, parched land. So any of that is going to make fires a lot riskier. And as you said, we've had these record-breaking fire years. Last year, it was 4.1 million acres. I think officials are getting ready. Communities are trying to be prepared, but it's going to be really high risk for the next, you know, all through the end of the year, I would say.
All right. So let's say I don't live in California, and I'll say I don't. I do have a daughter who's in college in California, which is part of why I was watching wildfires so closely. But if I don't live in California, tell me why I should care about droughts and wildfires in a state where I don't live.
Absolutely. So the first thing you know, to take away is of course, California is one of the biggest breadbaskets of the country. There's a third of the vegetables, two thirds of fruits and nuts are grown here. So agriculture is an important aspect of our economy, and that's going to be impacted by all of this. I mean, the other thing is, this is drought, and then, of course, when you layer wildfires on top of that, it's one of the most expensive disasters classified by the federal government. And that's, of course, going to tap resources. So as climate change gets worse, there are going to be more disasters everywhere, right? More natural disasters. We're going to see worsening weather patterns. We're going to see, you know, hurricanes, all these things that are going to be impacting people across the country. And resources are going to be tight. So I think there's been examples in the past when, you know, you have federal resources being invested into helping folks who are in these disaster areas during fire season. And then once that kind of turns over into hurricanes or, you know, tornadoes or any of these other issues that are going to happen at the same time, that's really going to put a damper on the federal government's ability to handle some of these huge catastrophes.
Gabrielle Cannon is the reporter covering fires, drought, and the American West for The Guardian. Gabrielle, thank you so much for being here and helping us to see how all of these questions are deeply connected.
Thanks for having me.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.